Can I add to what Kev said? Very happy Christmas to you, even though it seems a little early, doesn't it? But to students, particularly heading home, happy Christmas to you before you go home. Let me tell you about Friday this week. On Friday, I was popular. As popular as I am ever likely to be. They queued for a chance just to speak to me. Even the sight of me made people smile and wave. An entire school cancelled lessons for my visit. The dinner ladies joined the queue to meet me. I was hugged. I heard people say they were too scared to approach me. And as one girl walked away, I heard her say she loved me. except, of course, she didn't say, I love Charlie. She said, I love Santa. Which slightly devalues the whole thing. At my son's school on Friday, I spent 4.5 hours saying ho, ho, ho. It wasn't all good, let me tell you. Being dressed for the North Pole in a superheated primary school broom cupboard is not entirely fun. But still, it was an astonishing day. Santa visits a school, and he is treated like a megastar. It's like being Justin Bieber for a day or something like that. But one of the things we forget about Jesus is that he was genuinely that popular. Crowds reacted like that to him everywhere he went. He was amazing. They were terrified. They wondered at him. They nearly crushed him to get close. But I wonder if you knew it began at 5 weeks old. And that is precocious, isn't it? Justin Bieber may look 5 weeks old, but even he didn't start drawing the crowds until he was 14. So our final reading, on the sheet or on page 9 and 10, we meet a grown man called Simeon, who is righteous and devout, guided by the Holy Spirit, who goes absolutely mental for a five-week-old baby. Mary and Joseph are walking through the temple, minding their own business, probably trying to stop Jesus crying, and a complete stranger swoops in, grabs the baby, and sings a song titled, Now I Can Die Happy. Jesus is the visit of a megastar. And verse 33, number 33 there, tells you his parents marveled, and you can see why. But verses 34 and 35 are where I want to focus us. And they are not, it's not a happy thing to say to the parents of a newborn baby for the fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign that is opposed. There'll be a sword through the mother's heart, and the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. No prediction, no horoscope would ever be as negative as this, would it? Jesus is a baby who has a big future, but it isn't all happy, and it will change things a lot. The change that I delivered to that school on Friday was 100 chocolate coins were distributed. There was no falling, no rising. Orlean is still a headmistress. My son is still a scruffy urchin in reception. But Jesus' visit is to turn the world upside down. The fall and the rise of many, depending on whether they oppose him or welcome him. And Luke would extend that to the people in this room. Jesus' visit, which Simeon is part of the historical evidence for, that is for your rising or your falling, depending on what you make of it. And I guess probably, however excited you are about Christmas and carols, I guess you arrived tonight less excited than the children arrived to see Santa. But Luke says, expect more. And particularly if you're someone who, until Benoit was speaking, you had no idea this is historical and reliable. This is the real Jesus. And Luke says, expect more. You might rise because of what we'll say tonight, or you might fall. So I want to look at what Simeon tells the parents and tells us. I think there are three things he tells us about Jesus. We'd understand the excitement, and we'd get why there is a challenge here. So first thing he says is that here is salvation. So in verse 26, he says that he's been told he wouldn't die until he sees the Lord's Christ, and now he is ready to die. Why? Because verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation. Here is salvation. The baby is the rescue. And Most Christmas carols have that in, don't they? We've sung, he's the Saviour, Saviour of the world, save people from their sins. But still the picture is an odd one, isn't it? A grown man holding a baby, and somebody shouts, he's been rescued. And you'd assume it was the baby, wouldn't you? You'd assume the baby was about to eat a tarantula or play in front of a crane or something. Adults rescue babies, not the other way around. But Simeon holds the baby and says, we have been rescued. He's been waiting, verse 25, for the consolation of Israel. He won't die, verse 26, before he's seen the Lord's Christ. Now I can die. Here is salvation. I think most of us don't often need rescuing, so we forget what that would feel like to somebody like Simeon. But it still happens in our world. 2 weeks ago today, a cargo ship about the length of this building broke in half 10 miles off the coast of Wales. And in cold, stormy seas, miles from help, 5 men tragically drowned, but 2 were rescued. See, seeing salvation normally means something like that. You're clinging to a battered life raft in the middle of the darkness, and you see a helicopter coming over the waves towards you. Your radio crackles into life. The searchlight punches through the darkness. My eyes have seen your salvation. You see the red nose of the helicopter. You know that rescue is coming. But how does it work with Simeon? Simeon sees the baby, and what does he think is coming? Well, second thing, he says, here is the light switched on. Just like a rescue helicopter, verse 32, Jesus is a searchlight too. He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. It's better than the best searchlight. He shines on all peoples. It's to the glory of his own people. We back home in Bath, we are still pretty excited. We have an Olympic gold medalist. But Jerusalem glories in the Saviour of the world. And Simeon is his cheerleader in Jerusalem. But still, he ends up negative or gloomy about what's going to happen. Of all our readings, Simeon is the only one with a negative word to say, isn't he? I've seen the consolation, but then he stops singing and speaks to Mary in our key verses. Just look down at them again, because this is how the light works. Behold, this child is appointed, which sounds good so far. He's got a big destiny. Appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And it'd be okay to say that about the new prime minister of a European country. Hard times are coming. You're going to be opposed. People will fall and rise based on your decisions. But to say that about a baby, and worse, verse 35, would you say this to a new mum? A sword will pierce through your own soul also. That's a lovely baby, Mary, with a cute smile. And one day, being his mum will feel like being stabbed in the heart. It's an amazing thing to say. And that is all because of what the baby reveals. Because of what kind of light Jesus is. The searchlight on the helicopter reveals what kind of danger you're in on the sea. And Jesus is opposed, verse 34, so that, verse 35, the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. He's a searchlight that shines a light on the hearts of the world to show what kind of danger we are in. Which is why old man Simeon predicts lots of opposition for him and lots of pain for Mary. Because he reveals that our hearts need a search and rescue of the most urgent kind. So Sunday, 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you may have read the story, because they sent Prince William to go and get the 2 men in the sea. Which is great, isn't it? But I've always thought it's something of a mixed blessing. You're very, very glad to be rescued, but if they thought it was worth sending the future king into danger to get you, then you must really have stuffed something up. Jesus is a future king. That's what Simeon means by Christ. It's not his surname, it's a title. Jesus is the centre of history. Prince William leaves his palace and climbs into a helicopter. Jesus leaves heaven and climbs into a human body. And isn't that something of a mixed blessing? very glad to be rescued, but if God thought it was worth sending his only divine son into danger to get me, then I must really have stuffed something up. And the Bible everywhere says the thing that we have stuffed up is our hearts. Actually, you know, while I was being Santa, I asked 100 kids, are you good? It's on the script, isn't it? It's one of the only three questions you're allowed to ask. And even though in the queue I could hear what was really happening, so go to the back, stop doing that to him, despite just a normal school day, only one girl in the entire school said no. And I wanted to step out of role, pull the beard off and say, you're right, thank you for being the only truthful person in the school. Even the ones who didn't believe I was really Santa, they hedged, they thought I wasn't fat enough, apparently, not as good as last year's Santa, but they still hedged their bets, just in case we'll say we've been good. Now, I know that's kind of part of the script, and I know there are only six, but the trouble is most adults, despite the mess we make of our public lives a lot of the time, we still lie to ourselves about the state of our hearts. With one group, I said, have you been good? And one little boy saw the chance to increase his slice of the pie. So he said, I've been good, but she hasn't. She's been biting my back. I don't really believe that happened in a normal school day. But again, we do the equivalent, don't we? I'm a good person. I have been good this year, or at least I don't hurt others the way that they do. We've had a year of potential theys, haven't we? And bankers and politicians and dictators. But old man Simeon, righteous and devout, he can smile all over his face when God sends a saver, a rescuer for hearts. But I wonder if it strikes at our hearts and makes us oppose it. So here is salvation, here is the light, and then third thing, here you will stand or fall. So we have this this idea with Jesus that he came to make everything better. I think we confuse him with that that other Christmassy event that most don't really believe him, the thick fall of snow. See, the snow falls on normal mucky London, and for a day at least it covers over everything that is wrong, and the world is shiny and pure. So we think Jesus comes on Christmas Day and pours goodness over our lives and hides away everything that we don't like. But Simeon says he only makes things better if you see his light shining on your heart and let it reveal what you're like, bring out the muckiness and not cover it over, and only if you welcome him. See, he is salvation. He's come to cause the rising of many, those people weighed down by sin, in danger of death, who know what God would make of them, those he will raise. But others will fall because they oppose him. More than missing the rescue helicopter, this is kind of shaking your fist at it or trying to shoot it down. But actually, that is all part of God's plan. The fact that Jesus will be opposed and hated, the fact that Jesus will be killed, that is all part of what God appointed for Jesus. Even the sword through Mary's heart is talked about here on the day he was 5 weeks old, because that is part of the plan, because Jesus has a job to do, which is why Mary bore him, why God sent his son to be a human being, because Jesus has a job to do. And it's something that Mary would understand very well, even that day, because in her hand the whole time are two birds. And do you notice that in verse 24? The whole time that Simeon has been speaking, verse 24, Mary has two doves in her hand. Which, I'm sorry, it doesn't seem a very Christmas card image. I guess that is not on any Christmas cards you've been sent. You may feel about it the way the nation did when the papers revealed what the Queen does with pheasants at Christmas time. You know, if you see the Queen with a pheasant in her hand at Christmas time, she is probably not stroking its adorable little head and about to give it some milk. Same thing here. If you see the Virgin Mary with a couple of pigeons in her hands, you have two options. And they are either struggling to get free because they can smell what is coming, or they are already dead. with their, you know, I don't know, little heads hanging limp and a bit of blood coming around their eyes, still warm but not living, because Mary has just offered them to God as a sacrifice to buy back her firstborn son. That's the point of all the religious customs in verse 22 to 24. Luke wants us to see two dead pigeons in Mary's hands when we read verse 34. You see, to people with sinful hearts, God sends a saviour to reveal what we're like and then to deal with it, to die for them. Jesus doesn't bury sin like a fall of snow. He says he will bear it as his own, like a sacrificial animal. And the day that Mary's heart is pierced is the day she sees someone else carry her son with his head hanging limp and blood coming off, still warm but not living, because Jesus had offered himself to God to buy back human beings who'd rebelled against him. And that's why, unlike Santa, Jesus didn't stay popular all his life. He consistently pointed out what we're really like and how much we need a rescue. But by the same token, Christmas is a far better rescue, a far better present, isn't it? Certainly than chocolate coins. Salvation, however bad you are, and not just to those who can pretend to be good. Revelation, however uncomfortable it might be to think that God sees our hearts, and rising to new life because Jesus died in our place. That is an amazing gift and present at Christmas time, and I'd commend to you Luke's Gospel, to take it, to read it, to think, to decide whether you'll stand or fall on what Jesus means.